Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, January 24th, 5:28 a.m. Central Time. Grain market's a little bit higher here this morning. We've got some China news to start off today.
China's ag ministry is planning to guide farmers in selling their hogs to reduce herd numbers. Lower herd numbers will allow for greater regulation of the industry. China's hog herd has expanded rapidly in recent years, leading to decreased demand and plunging prices. Hog slaughter rose to a 9-year high at the end of last year as producers attempted to cut their losses. Herd liquidation is expected to continue for the next 1 to 2 months, along with lower prices.
Mackenzie, when the Chinese government says they're going to guide you to reduce hog production, do you feel as if that's a recommendation or more so like a,
a red flag?
You better do this or you're in trouble, buddy. So Reuters says the hog numbers are still high and thus destocking will continue in the next 1 to 2 months. This is a problem. So this is part of the reason why crush margins are negative on imported soybeans. This is an update to this Reuters data that we had a week or two ago. So if there's less hogs or the idea that there will be less hogs, you need less meal to feed. So the crush margins are negative. I think that this story, the idea that Chinese soybean demand is going to be reduced because of these hog problems, because of this crush margin, I think this is a big part of the reason you've seen the sell-off in soybean futures. I mean, we basically saw a $2 sell-off. We went from 14 down to 12, and now we've recovered a little bit. So I think that these Chinese demand concerns might be the biggest thing. And then the secondary thing would be an improved Brazilian weather situation. But the more I step back and look at it, I feel like the Chinese demand concerns are probably the bigger thing here.
We have more news out of China. To improve food security and reduce its dependence on imports, China intends to boost soybean yields this year. To do so, the country is planning to increase the planting of GMO soybean varieties. China has also said it will plant more GMO corn varieties. To further stretch its soybean production, China is reducing the soybean meal ratio included in animal feed. Last year, China's soybean imports increased 11% to 99.4 million tons, nearly surpassing the all-time high set back in 2020.
So it appears to be factual that they're going to push for these GMO varieties. The idea that imports are going to be reduced has yet to be realized. USDA still projects that China will import a record amount of soybeans this year. So the old adage when it comes to China is watch what they do and not what they say. And they may be very well pushing toward this GMO thing. I just don't know that it's going to happen overnight. And the projections right now and a lot of the pace analysis would suggest that they're still going to have a really good import program. And I think there's some concern moving forward because of the hog thing, but this is the USDA projection for now. Do they change it? I guess we'll find out in future reports.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some of the videos you've put together this week?
Jimmy Uriel was on yesterday. We did Macro Tuesday. We usually do Macro Friday, but I'm going to be traveling to Phoenix for the AgView Solutions meeting here today. So we did Macro Tuesday. We talked about the consumer. What sort of shape is the consumer in? We talk about interest rates almost every time that Jim is on because as it relates to our farm crowd here, the interest rate situation is a big, big deal. We talked about the stock market. We talked a lot about the election, actually, which is some interesting stuff. Jim has a lot of political thoughts. And then Monday's video, unpriced 2023 corn and soybean bushels. What should you do? If you guys sign up for the premium deal today, you will see links for the 6 most recent premium videos. So you'll see this video as well if you decide to sign up. Go to standardgrain.com this morning. Give this deal a shot. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is the only way that we're able to wake up and do this podcast and YouTube stuff every day is through the premium subs. We don't have sponsors, so this floats the boat for us. If you guys are already a premium sub, thank you. You are worth your weight in gold. And if you're not, you should give it a shot.
Farmers are expected to make slight changes in corn and soybean acres this year. According to the Farm Futures January 2024 Grower Survey, corn plantings will fall 2% this year to 92.8 million acres. Soybean acres are slated to increase by 1.6% to 85 million acres. If realized, this year's soybean crop would be the fifth largest crop ever planted in the U.S. Winter wheat acres are forecast to increase by 1.5% to 37.3 million acres. Spring wheat acres are anticipated to drop by a whopping 19% to 9.1 million acres. If achieved, spring wheat acreage would be the sixth smallest on record and the smallest since 1970.
This is a pretty small survey. I think it's only like 800 something producers, but maybe indicative of the trend. So they've got corn at 92.8. USDA back in November in the long-term baseline, they were 91 for corn and 87 for soybeans. So you're going to see a lot more acreage talk as we move forward here. The Ag Outlook Forum is February 15th and 16th. And then, of course, the big report is March 28th, which is prospective plantings. When you look at the corn-soybean ratio, it favors soybeans. It favors an increase in soybean acres versus last year slightly at 2.53 to 1. But that's pretty close to like your long-term average. And neither crop's making a ton of money. And as far as this ratio is concerned, I feel like more like academic type people and maybe traders look at this. I don't know that this is the thing that moves the needle for farmers. For farmers, it's more of like how the actual budgets look. But in any case, yeah, I agree with the notion that corn acreage will decline from a really high level last year. Soybean acres will come up a little bit.
Brazilian soybean production estimates continue to decline. Dr. Michael Cordonier, a South American crop consultant, kept his Brazilian corn and soybean estimates unchanged this week. The doctor is estimating the soybean crop at 149 million tons and the corn crop at 115 million tons. Well-followed private group Ag Rural's soybean estimate is similar at 150.1 million tons. USDA and CONAB's projections, however, are much higher at 157 million tons and 155 million tons, respectively.
The government entities, USDA and CONAB, are slow playing the situation, whereas the private groups, Cordonier, Ag Rural, they're probably more reflective of reality. So now you're talking sub 150, and I don't disagree. I mean, I think that may be a fair assessment. Weather in Brazil is not the problem now. If there's going to be this big shortfall in Brazil, and there's going to be a shortfall, it's just a question about how much, it's because of past weather and not present or future weather. The forecast is pretty wet. There's some dry pockets here, but then the extended stuff through 15 days looks good. I'll tell you what, Argentina is the problem, and I think that this has caught the market's attention here over the last few days. Argentina started off really good. Rainfall had been adequate, and now the forecast has shifted much drier. Temperatures are going to run well above normal for another week to 10 days. Potentially some relief in the extended stuff like during the first week of February, although the forecasters that I follow believe that those extended GFS runs may be a little bit overdone with the rainfall. So if the soybean market's trading weather right now and forecasts, I think it's probably trading Argentina more so than Brazil. And then when it comes to Brazil, the yield reports are going to start to dribble in, and we'll hear more about that as the weeks go by here.
Frigid temperatures across North Dakota last week caused disruptions in one of the largest natural gas and oil resources in the U.S. It's estimated that 700,000 barrels of oil per day may have been lost over the last week. State officials estimate that it could take weeks or possibly months for production to return to normal. Sub-zero temperatures also caused more than 60 incidents involving leaks or equipment failures. That number is anticipated to rise as temperatures increase.
USA for the win. We're still a big oil producer, big oil producer. The crude market looks to me as if it's posted at least a short-term bottom back in December, and we've seen a very loose, kind of sloppy, sideways to upward trend since then. Higher crude prices are interesting because for the vast majority of the public, you'd like to see lower crude prices and lower gasoline prices. For corn and soybean growers, if crude ran back to $100 and it helped corn and soybean prices rally, that would be a net positive for you guys. So a lot of you guys are in a little bit different boat than the majority of the U.S. public. But the market has acted better. I mean, it hasn't acted great. bigger picture, maybe it still looks like a bear market, but shorter term, it doesn't look terrible. What did cattle do yesterday?
Cattle futures moved higher on Tuesday with support from stronger wholesale beef prices. Feeder cattle futures closed an average of $1.87 higher. Live cattle futures closed an average of 63 cents higher. Choice box beef increased $2.99, ending the day at $301.66, its highest level since the first part of November. And select was $1.80 higher at $288.38.
Outside markets on Wednesday, guys, U.S. dollar is off. The S&P is absolutely ripping up 21 at 49.16. Just phenomenal action the last few days. I think the chase is on. Everybody was misallocated. Bonds are up a little bit. Gold's up $8. Crude oil is up 8 cents at 74.35 in the April WTI. Have a great day, guys. I will not be here the rest of the week. Matt and Brian are going to be on with Mackenzie. I'll be back on Monday, but we, the collective, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. See you later.